I really appreciate that song. I would ask us, how many of us really believe it?
You should ask us to raise our hand.
Because I have a challenge for us tonight.
Okay, all right.
That comes from faith. What is faith? Do we know what faith is? So I'm going to start off in Luke. I think it's Luke chapter 12. Or it might be 13. So it's my apologies there. Luke 18. So a few chapters off. So Luke 18. I want to start off reading here in Luke 18 in chapter 1. And this is Jesus. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But listen to this next thing Jesus said. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's the challenge I want to ask us tonight. Do you know what faith is? We all probably know faith from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that. But do we really understand that? So here we have a story of a woman that wanted something from a judge. In this story, does it say she goes to the judge and asks once? And he answers her? Does it say he even appeared to be inclined to answer her? In this story, it says the judge at first, I'm not going to answer her. But over time, and because of her persistence, eventually he said, I'm going to answer her. Because, and says, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Now, these are some interesting words if you look them up in the Greek. Because lest she weary me, if you read it literally in the Greek, means lest she beat me black and blue.
Wow.
Lest she give me a black eye. This judge was saying, this woman is serious about getting help.
Right.
And if I don't help her, she's liable to just really want to keep pestering me to the point she takes physical action. The thought on my heart today is, do we understand the difference between our faith and God's will? We seem to get those confused. God's will and our faith. So back in Daniel chapter 3, we have the story of the three young Hebrew men told to bow down and worship an idol, don't we? Did they worship that idol? No. The king called them to him and said, you guys know that if you don't bow down and worship that idol, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. And what God is going to deliver you from me?
That's right.
those three Hebrew children, their response was, we're not careful to talk to how we're going to answer you, King, because our God, he can deliver us.
Yes.
But if not,
right.
If his will isn't that way,
right.
Our faith isn't changing.
Right.
We're still going to look to him for deliverance some way,
yes.
If it's through death.
Yes.
Now, they were delivered, right?
Yes.
Where?
In the fire,
in the furnace, after it would look like the Lord's will was not to deliver them. Where is our faith? Do we understand our faith versus God's will? Our faith is the substance of the things hoped for. How much substance are you giving the Lord to work with in your prayers? You want to see things?
Yeah.
How much evidence are you willing to have? We have so many stories in the Bible,
yes, right,
that show us that God doesn't work the way we work.
That's right.
Yes.
Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
They sent word to Jesus. Lazarus is sick, mm-hmm, and it looks pretty serious.
Yes.
We need you to come heal him.
Right.
Jesus said, okay,
mm-hmm,
and waited.
And
then he had a conversation with his disciples.
Uh-huh.
You know, Lazarus is asleep. And they're like, oh, that's good. Rest is good for him. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. He's dead.
Yes.
Now let's go see Lazarus.
Uh-huh.
Human minds would say, wait a minute. What's the point? What's the point?
Uh-huh.
Jesus gets there. He's talking to Lazarus' sister.
Yeah.
Says, don't you know I have the faith to raise people up? She goes, oh yeah, I know he'll come to life at the last day. Jesus is like, no, I am the resurrection. Do we understand our faith versus God's will? Are we willing to keep our faith even if his will doesn't seem to line up? There are times it is not God's will. The Apostle Paul, he said he had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he?
Yes.
He said he prayed to God about it. God answered his prayer, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
How? He said, you know what? I've got something for you, but it's called grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're going to get for this one. But you know what? You got an answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would challenge us, listening to the prayer requests. Those are requests that are serious.
Yes.
They've probably been going on for years.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't got a no, don't give up.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Sometimes you might be talking to, not that the good Lord is unjust when I say this,
mm-hmm,
but the unjust judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has a trial going on. He's working his purpose. We don't always understand.
Yes.
But at some point, you'll get an answer.
That's right. Yes.
Either grace to deal with it,
uh-huh,
or the answer.
Yes.
In the service this morning, there was some testimonies given out. 14 years, I believe,
yes,
one sister was praying for relief from arthritis. 14 years. After a while, don't you think? It must not be his will. What is God's will? Jesus went to Galilee, his hometown. It said he traveled around up there. And it said he did not many mighty works up there, save for a few healings. Why? Because of their unbelief. He didn't have the substance to work with. He was willing to work with them, but he didn't have the substance to work with. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we also have, I believe it's in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want to challenge us this evening. When you say you have faith, that you believe God will do something, do you really believe that? Are you holding on to that, even though it looks like he's not answering your prayer? When Jesus went to heal, I think it was Jairus' daughter. We know that as he was going there, the woman with the issue of blood reached down and touched his hem and was healed. And then Jesus continued on. Except when he got to the house, they told him, she's dead. And Jesus said, well, she's not dead. And it said the people laughed him to scorn. What did Jesus do? He put him out. He said, you guys don't have the faith that's necessary right now, and I'm going to work with faith. I'm not going to work with the lack of faith. So I'm going to put you out, and I'm going to work with faith. Where are we at? Looking at these prayers, where's your heart? Do you believe in the healing, overflowing power of God to work in every circumstance?
Yes, he does.
I've thought about those three Hebrew men. Bound up. All right, Lord, any time would be nice. Loaded up by the men, being carried closer and closer to the furnace. There's always been a thought that went through my mind. I wonder at what point they suddenly started realizing, wait a minute, we're not feeling any heat from these flames. And then the men around them fell down dead. No doubt they looked down, the ropes burning off. Because it said the ropes burn off.
That's right.
The ropes that bound them burnt, but their clothes and them, not even the smell of soap.
Oh, that's so, brother. That's so.
Do we believe in that God? Has he changed?
He has not changed.
You know the world will tell you today that it is not the Lord's will to heal us. It is not the Lord's will to do miracles. Why are people saying that? Do you know in Jesus' day, people doubted the forgiveness of sins, but they didn't doubt the ability to heal?
Yeah, they really did. That was right.
Do you know in our world today, we seem to be the opposite? We have a world full of people that will raise their hands. I've been saved from my sins. But that's all he can do. What kind of power is that? Or the folks that say, well, I've been saved from my sins. I've been set free. Except I can't help but sin every day. Where's the freedom in that? Where is the living, breathing God? What is it that we, in our lives, fail to grasp? Jesus said there in Luke, will there be faith when I come? And it's been a challenge to me. Do I have real faith? And I mean, and that's a serious challenge to me. When we think about the things we pray for, do we pray once or twice or three times? And then we say, well, must not be the Lord's will. And we resign ourselves to whatever it is we didn't want to have happen because, well, the Lord, it's just not the Lord's will. Or is it maybe our faith wasn't where it needed to be? At what point do we give up hope? I mean, in the furnace? Do you give up hope in the furnace? No, the Hebrew children made it through.
They made it through.
Do you give up hope when you're dead? We were all dead in sin. If we didn't have hope there, where can we have hope at? God is such a wonderful God, such a loving God, that he's willing to work with us. There was a man that was blind. And the Lord went to heal him. And he asked that man, what do you see? And the man said, well, I see men as trees walking. I pondered that one. Did Jesus not know how to heal him? Do you know in a lot of the times when people approach Jesus for healings, he had a phrase that he told them? As your faith is, so be it unto you. I look at that and I think that man had faith for the healing to see men as trees. And the Lord knew it. So he took him to that point. But once he got in there, what did the Lord do? All right, so now you've had faith at that point. Let's try this again. And then what happened? I see clearly. Folks, sometimes you're going to be praying to the Lord and he's going to, dare I say it, sort of answer your prayer. Don't give up hope. Dig in and draw closer. Say, okay, Lord, I see you working. The sister this morning, I see my foot move. Praise the Lord. I see him working. I have something else to add to my little faith. Some more substance to stick in that bucket. Lord, here's a little more faith for you to work with. Continue to improve it. I look at our hurting world, the people that say, well, it's beyond repair. Pick anything, drug problems, violence. People say, well, it's just hopeless, is it? It is if we rely on ourselves. Medical diseases, the things that the world says is incurable. I've been reading the news and you start seeing people, the doctors don't want to use antibiotics as much anymore. But do you know why? Because antibiotics have been used so much that the diseases are becoming resistant to them. Those diseases do not actually respond to the drugs anymore. And the doctors don't know what to do. Because if these resistances keep developing, they won't be able to help people. They won't be able to cure the symptoms of the disease. It just won't work. What kind of antibiotics do we take spiritually, so to speak? We don't have to. We have a working full cure.
Yes, right.
I look at the world today, and have any of y'all ever had a headache? The world, I worked with a man one time, and I was a little amused. We worked in a grocery store back in the back in the warehouse, and he had been working on a box, and you've seen those big old box staples. Well, he ripped a gash on his arm from about his elbow, probably 6-7 inches long, and about 3/4 of an inch deep. And the owner of the store said, well, I'd like to, you know, have you take that in, get that stitched. And the man said, no, I'm going to put some butterfly bandages on it, put some bandages on it. I'm going to trust the Lord. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. You don't hear that often. 15 minutes later, he's walking by, and hey, does anybody got any aspirin? I've got a headache. And it caused me to stop and think, Lord, wait a minute. You can heal that, but you can't touch his headache. I would challenge us in our lives. Do we have God limited to what he can do, that he can just do these things, but not these things? Do we not understand how faith works? You know, it's possible to have great faith in some areas and almost none in others. And I can tell you from experience, I found myself sometimes the Lord said, hey, I'm trying to work in this area, but you haven't gave me much to work with. It is our lives.
Yes.
And the Lord looks to us and says, if you will have faith in me, I can do plenty.
Yes.
We have the story of a little boy and a group of a bunch of hungry people. Why is it was only a little boy that offered up food? Do you think, honestly, a couple of thousand people went out into town to see Jesus speak, and only one little boy thought to bring a lunch? Only one. Nobody else had the sense that they were going to get hungry that day. I think part of it was everybody else was like, well, if I give my lunch up, I ain't going to have nothing to eat. So I'm not going to say nothing. But this little boy, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, let's all eat this. Where was his faith? His faith was that plenty right there. Now, even the disciples, Lord, all we have is this. And Jesus is like, okay, let's take it. Mm-hmm. Blessed it, started breaking it. How many baskets did they take up? Was it just one? Was it two? 12. How many little loaves and fishes do we give the Lord? You know, it talks about you, to get into heaven, you have to become like a little child. Have you ever watched a little child go ask its parents for something to eat? Especially the wee little ones. When they go up to their parents and ask for something to eat, do you think it ever crosses that little young person's mind that there may be no food in the house? No. Now, they know they may get told no. It may not be time to eat. But their expectation is that if it is time, they're going to get to eat. Do we look at the Lord the same way? Lord, I'm coming to you. I need feeding in my soul. I need help with a bodily issue. I need help in my mind. I need help on my job. I need help with my relationships. Lord, I'm coming to you. You got something for me? You know, sometimes he's going to say no. But here's some grace to tide you over. Do you know when you get that grace, it doesn't mean you have to give up your faith? Did the Apostle Paul, you think, ever give up his hope that one day the Lord might come back and say, okay, Paul, you've done good with the grace. Now let's go ahead and heal that. The men born blind, never seen before. What kind of hope do you think they had of ever seeing? Have you ever heard of it? Even today, how often do you hear of people that are born blind that through the modern science get to see? You'll hear sometimes when they'll put a little implant in and they'll tell you the person can see, but if you really get to read into the article, yeah, they put these glasses on and it picks up light and it puts certain signals in their brain and they can kind of see light and dark spots. Is that really seeing? That's not the healing that Jesus was doing. Those people walked up. I thought about the one man. Jesus put mud on his eyes. And then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, here's a blind man being told to go wash in the pool. He obviously wasn't standing by the pool. Now, Jesus said, you want your eyes healed? All right. I'm going to pack some mud in them. And then I'm going to send you across town through traffic and everything to go wash your own eyes in that pool. Where's your faith? It would be easy for us to say, okay, Lord, you must not want to heal me. That's a lot of effort. And it doesn't even seem like it makes sense. We can get ourselves offended. But should we? Said the man went and washed in the pool, and what happened? He could see. Where is our faith? And do we understand the difference between our faith and God's will? They're separate things. They're separate entities. Our faith has to exist regardless of God's will. We have to have that hope, that expectation that if we turn to Him, He will hear us. It will be subject to His will. You can't override God's will. But there's times you'll see things and you think, well, wow, that doesn't seem like God's will. Hezekiah. Isaiah the prophet was sent to Hezekiah. Said, Isaiah, get your affairs in order. The sickness you have, it's unto death. You're going to die. What would it seem like God's will was? The Lord just told you're going to die. Hezekiah did what? Turn his face to the wall. He didn't turn around and say, okay, I'll just go get my affairs in order. It's a hopeless case. The Lord's he's already told me it's His will. We're done here. Do you know oftentimes when the Lord tells you things, it's because He's wanting to have a dialogue? Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord talked to Abraham. about what he was going to do. Why did he talk to Abraham? Do you think it was just to let Abraham know? Or do you think part of it was he knew what Abraham's response would be?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, 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 hold on. What if there's 50 people in there? Are you going to kill the righteous with the unrighteous? Are you, Lord? Surely you wouldn't do that. Or said, okay, I'll, for that I won't. Did Abraham stop there?
No, he didn't stop.
Nope. Kept going until it got down to what, 10? All right, Lord. Abraham felt pretty confident that there's 10, at least 10 righteous people. I've got some family members in there, and hopefully there's some others they've influenced. We should, okay, Lord, I'm gonna stop there. I feel comfortable. Do you know if he'd have kept going down, and if the Lord would have agreed to it, Sodom and Gomorrah might still exist? And I'm not faulting Abraham for stopping, because we can't guarantee it would have been the Lord's will to say okay to 5. But it might have. There might have been a whole city saved. Because one person said, Lord, I know why you're thinking that. But maybe, let's discuss. How many times did the Lord tell Moses, I'm going to destroy this people and create a new people for you? And Moses did what? Hold on, Lord. Hold on. Let's talk about this. If you do that, your name's going to not look as good. People are going to say that you just brought this people out of Egypt to kill them. And it's going to make you look bad. And Lord, you don't want your name to look bad. Have you ever thought we can talk to the Lord like that? That we can, I'm not going to say challenge his will, but say, Lord, have you thought of it this way? That I have faith in you, but I want to talk to you about your will. I want to see if we can maybe change it. Now, we have to be prepared. Sometimes it doesn't get changed. Do you think Moses ever wanted to talk to the Lord about actually getting into the promised land? But he didn't. The Lord said, no, I've drawn a line there. This is the end of that discussion. I'm going to let you go up into the mountain. I'm going to let you look over into it. I'll let you put eyes on it. I'll give you that so you can see it. You're going to know it really exists. And you're going to know the people are going in there. Joshua, your servant, is going to carry him on in there. I'm going to give you instructions for him. I'm going to take that hope you have and I'm going to keep it alive. But my will is not changed for you. But Moses still had hope.
Yes, he did.
All the way up until then.
Yeah.
And his hope still was, even then, that the people were going on in, finally. The children were getting into the promised land.
Yeah.
For our lives, when we look at the good Lord and what he's done for us, do we truly believe and have faith in what he said he will do for us?
Yes.
Not just spiritually, but for us. We've heard all kinds of things mentioned. Troubles of the mind, troubles of the soul, troubles of the body. But what can God do for us? Just heal our souls? No. He's the bigger God. The living God, the only God. Everything else, what does it say, is just a piece of wood carved by men, overlaid with gold and set up somewhere, can't move on its own, can't speak on its own. Have any of y'all ever been, I like to do this out of the farm where we live, because we live out from the city, and on a nice, clear night, there's no street lamps around, you can see the stars good. I like to go out there and look at the stars. Do you know why? It reminds me of when God took Abraham out and pointed up at the stars. He said, you see those stars? That's going to be your seed someday. Now, Abraham had how much faith in that? There come a point in Abraham's life, he said, Lord, you know what? What about that promise you told me about? Because right now, one of my servants is going to inherit when I die.
Right.
Well, what about that seed? Do you know it's okay if you feel like the Lord has given you a promise to go back to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I'm holding on to that promise. Abraham didn't go to him doubting. He went to him saying, Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm getting up in age. And I've got some concerns here because I just want to make sure that we're still good on that promise. The Lord said, yes, we are. And then I think it was 10 more years before the child came. Faith and God's will don't necessarily look like they line up sometimes, do they? Abraham had to continue having faith. Okay, Lord, I'm getting way all up in years. About to hit 100 years old. We got some potential challenges to how things are going to work out now. Because me and my wife are both really old. The Lord said what? In a year, you're going to have a son. And all those challenges, they won't be challenges. Things will be taken care of. And Abraham had his child. At a point in time, once again, where for us humans, we would think that time has passed. It wasn't the Lord's will. Have you ever thought about that? How many times do we potentially leave a healing, a touch, dare I even say a loved one's salvation, laying on the altar of prayer because it's been so long and we've decided the Lord must not be your will? I would challenge us all. Are we going to be one of the ones when the Lord returns that he finds with faith? Or is his question that he posed going to be a reality? When he comes back, will he find faith? Will he find faith that actually sticks to it in spite of the seeming impossibility of things happening? If any of you had to go to court today, and every time you went in court, the judge says, I'm dismissing your case with prejudice, you have no case, and threw it out, would you think to go back to court? That is the example we were given of what faith does. All right, he threw it out. All right, so what did he throw it out on? Let me go look up. He threw it on this. Okay, let me go see if I can address those technicalities. I think I've got right back into court. All right, judge. Here's everything again. Let's talk about this again. All right, well, you did address those technicalities, but I'm throwing it out again for this. All right, go back. I think this little woman was doing that. She, go back. Okay, well, I think I found the way to address back into court. We don't have a timeline here, but it doesn't sound like it was just once or twice. Just a year or two?
Yes.
It implies it was a long time. And that during that entire time, the judge seemed to be absolutely unbending in what he was doing. I'm not helping you. In fact, it says the judge respected not man or God.
Yes.
Just looks totally hopeless. I can't appeal to his emotions as a fellow human being. And I can't scare him with eternal judgment. He doesn't care for either one. Where's the hope in that? Where's the substance of our hope? That's what faith is. The little woman said, but you know what? I don't care that he looks that way. He's a man. And men can be worn down. You just have to keep at it. You can't give up. Now, you know that little widow woman could have died before that happened just because of the natural times of life? But didn't it seem like that she cared about that much? I think that little widow woman's heart in that story with the unjust judge was set in such a manner that she was like, you know, Lord, he may not give it to me today, and I may die before he gives it to me. But for the rest of my life, I'm working on getting him to do this. That is what I'm going to set my heart and mind on. When we go before the Lord, do we approach him with that kind of earnest? Saying, you know what, Lord? I want this from you badly.
Yes.
With every fiber of my being.
Yes.
And I'm willing to bring this to you every day from now till I die, and you invite me into eternity. Because guess what, folks? That's the instructions for how we're supposed to live our faith in the Bible. That was the challenge he threw down with that story about the unjust judge. Because it starts off saying how men should always pray.
Pray, that's right.
We cannot, if we're going to say we have faith in the Lord, we cannot do as the king did when the prophet came to him and said, take those arrows and strike them on the ground. And the king went, 1, 2, 3, okay, now what? Because what happened? The prophet got mad. Said, oh, king, if you would have kept striking it 5, 6 times, something like, you would have defeated him and completely ran him out of the country. But now you're only going to get your victory 3 times. Just 3 times. The prophet didn't go up to the king and say, beat on the ground 3 times. He said, take these arrows and beat on the ground. He didn't even tell him to stop. The king chose to stop because he thought he had done enough. In our faith, in our prayer life, we need to be very aware that the Lord is looking to us to have faith. Without that, it is impossible to please him. If you're not pleasing God, do you think you're going to be invited into the wedding feast? It's a sobering thought.
Yeah.
And it's one that I've been challenged with in my personal prayer life. Lord, have I gotten, dare I say, like a Pharisee? I'm just repeating vain words.
No.
My prayers are the same day in, day out. It can almost feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes I stop and I say, okay, Lord, today I'm going to pick just one person on my list. I'm going to focus my prayers on them today. Not to ignore the others. You know they're still on the list, Lord. And that list I'm going to hold before you. But today, I want to pray about this issue. I want you to look at this issue. And I would also challenge us. What kind of fasting life do you have? You know, the disciples couldn't cast out one of the devils. And why couldn't they cast that devil out? When they brought the man to Jesus, Jesus cast him right out. Have you read Jesus' life? If you read Jesus' life and you start noticing in the evening times and during night, where was our Lord? Often he was in prayer, and often it said he prayed all night. Now, we don't have too many records of him fasting. But I guarantee you, if you're in prayer all night, you're probably not stopping to eat a snack when you get a little hungry. I know from having worked in the military, sometimes you'd have to work 24, 48 hours straight. You get to where you'll pretty much eat because you're going to get tired. You're going to, and that food helps get you going. Our Lord knew what it was to pray. I think he knew what it was to fast. And I would challenge us, do we know what that is? Do we know even why we fast? How does that tie into our faith? Do you know fasting is a form of self-discipline?
That's what it is, brother.
It's a way of telling the Lord, Lord, I mean this enough that to show you that I'm willing to try to follow you, I'm going to give up my necessary food for a while.
Yeah.
Daniel, it said, fasted for 3 weeks one time before the Lord answered his prayer. Now, when he gave up his food for 3 weeks, I will admit, folks, it did not mean that he wasn't eating anything. He gave up the fancy foods, and a lot of times the Jewish people, when they would fast for multiple days at a time, they wouldn't eat between sunup and sundown. In fact, to be on the safe side, They would wait, stop eating 30 minutes before sunup, and they wouldn't eat till 30 minutes after sundown. That way, they went all day while they were working without food. You will feel it, even if that's all you do. Now, they wouldn't drink water either. So the only time they were eating and drinking was generally at nights. Now, it said Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. And then the angel came. When the angel talked to Daniel, when did it say he heard his prayer?
The first day.
Took him 3 weeks to get around to the answer because the angel had work to do. Do you know the God in heaven sometimes, he's working where we can't see? You have a loved one you're praying for and you're not seeing anything? The Lord has heard your prayer. You're praying for a soul, and the Bible says he doesn't want any soul to perish. The Lord has heard your prayer. He's working, but as we saw in Daniel, sometimes he's being withstood too. And he has to deal with that. Do not give up your hope. Do not lose your faith because you confuse it with God's will. I think sometimes we use the crutch of, well, I don't think it's the Lord's will, to mask our lack of faith. It's easy to say, well, it's just not the Lord's will. My challenge to you all is, from what I read in the Bible, God answers prayer. Doesn't mean he always answers it an affirmative, but he answers prayer. Did he give you an answer yet? Did he give you a clear yes or no to what you've been praying about? If not, don't hesitate to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, as your child, I am not feeling like I have a clear answer, and I really want to know. I was talking to another pastor one time, and he had been praying about his marital companion and asked the Lord for a particular response, and he felt like he got it, but just to be sure, he went back, and he actually did that 6 times, he said. And he started to do it a 7th time, and the Lord said, you don't believe me? You know, I've already answered you. So sometimes our challenge is, if you're not believing God, where was your faith to start with? If he answered you, sometimes, do you believe it? Do you really believe what he's given you? Because actually this gentleman, the answer had been to the affirmative. Yes, she's the one. Go ask her to marry you. Go get engaged. But he kept asking. There was a little bit of a lack of faith, folks. We may not think of it, but why would you keep asking when okay, Lord, I know you said that, but is a sign of fear. A sign of, I'm not fully grounded yet, Lord, in what I just asked you for, an answer for what you gave me. I think of the man who Jesus asked him if he believed that he could heal his daughter, and the man said, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I would challenge us all. Draw close to the Lord. Lean into him. Learn to dig in with faith. And then wait for the Lord to show you his will. And to give you the strength either to deal with the grace, if that's the path he's chosen with you, or be prepared to praise him when he answers your prayer. Y'all pray for me.